welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith. And what a joy it is and a privilege to be able to share the Word of the Lord with you today and every day as you have the ability to tune in and listen to the broadcast. We're heard on this station every day, Monday through Friday, at the same time. And we've been looking at an incident in the life of David that illustrates three great principles. If you perhaps didn't catch the broadcast or you'd like to rehear one, please know that if you go to our website, unveilchrist.org, you can click on the podcast and rehear or catch up any that you missed. But in case you're just tuning in this week, what we see now in the first chapter, in 1 Chronicles, the 14th chapter, that David had been newly anointed king over all Israel. He had successfully removed the Jebusites from their stronghold. He made one unsuccessful attempt to bring the ark to Jerusalem, but it was brought on a cart, which was not the way God specified it needed to be carried on the shoulders of the priests. And so right after this traumatic episode, then the enemy rises up, the Philistines. In verse 8 of chapter 14, it says, "When the Philistines heard that David was anointed king over all Israel, all the Philistines went up to seek David, and David heard of it and went out against them." And what we see is David, in the subsequent verses, he inquired of the Lord, "What should I do?" And God said, "Go out after them," and that he would be victorious. So he did that. And in fact, there was such an incredible victory that they called the name of that place Baal Perazim, which means the Lord breaking forth, like the breaking forth of waters, like a great deluge just sweeping everything away in its sight, like a flood tide. That's how successful they were in just routing the enemy. So, all is well. You'd think, well, praise God, there's victory, but it's not over yet. A second time, the Philistines come against them. In verse 13, the Philistines yet again spread themselves abroad in the valley. And therefore, David inquired again of the Lord, and God said unto him, "Go not up after them, turn away from them, and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And it shall be, when thou shalt hear a sound of going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt go out to battle. For God is gone forth before thee to smite the host of the Philistines." And of course, David did that and was greatly victorious. There are three lessons that we can learn from this very important incident in David's life. Because as I've shared in the last couple broadcasts, I've felt that there is much change that God is bringing forth in the lives of His people in the near future. Some of them are natural changes, change of job, work location, change of residence, different circumstantial things that could be happening, as well as some significant changes in our spiritual walk, in our walk with God. I believe because the times are so dark, the hour is so late, that the Holy Spirit, and He's doing such a wonderful job, that's his task before the Father, is to bring the body of Christ into perfection. And beloved, I don't care how much of a failure you might think you are before the Lord, the Holy Spirit is not going to give up on you. If you've fallen, if you have sinned, what do? Don't run away. Don't hide. Repent. Come back to the Lord. Confess your sin. And He's faithful and just to forgive your sin. and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He will bring you into that place of fellowship, because sin does separate. Sin, rebellion, stubbornness, stiff-neckedness, all that, you know, it's as the sin of rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. That's what Samuel told Saul. And because of that, the kingdom was taken from him. Beloved, we need to walk in a humble spirit before God, allowing God to search our hearts to see if there be any wicked way in us. So, beloved, what are the lessons that we can learn? First of all, is that God is sovereign. We know what the scriptures say, that his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. You know, as far as heaven is from the earth, so are his ways higher than ours. His wisdom is not ours. What do we see? We see two exact similar situations. The enemy is spread out in this large valley of Rephidim, and they are attempting to give a frontal assault against David. Now, in the first situation, David was told by the Lord, go ahead and you'll be victorious. But in this second situation, it's the exact same situation, but the will of God is totally different. So many of the programs of men or denominations, they failed because they want God to work according to their prescriptions, according to the things that they think will be successful. But here, what do we see? The will of God leading David with entirely different tactics and strategies. And so, beloved, what can we learn from this? Some of you might be in a situation right now, you're not exactly certain what to do. And I want to encourage you to forsake the old points of reference. Are we to learn by our experiences? Of course we are. But that does not make us an absolute expert because something happened in the past that this is exactly what we need to do in the future. No, we have to rely on God. We have to trust God. That's a faith walk. It's not our abilities. It's not how, you know, experienced we've become. I don't care how many years you may have pastored. I don't care how many years you've been in ministry. I don't care how many years you've followed the Lord. We have to allow God to be God, that he is sovereign, and his ways are not our ways. His wisdom is not ours. And this is such a classic, powerful example, such a dramatic example, that in the exact same situation, in a very short period of time, God was giving David two different ways of proceeding. So one, we have to learn God's sovereignty. And then what is the second thing? The second thing is the importance of waiting on God. You know what, beloved? Unless God goes out before you, you're wasting your time. No matter what enterprise, no matter what good thing that you're attempting to do for the Lord or even in the natural, unless the Lord makes the way straight, unless he causes those rough places to be made plain and the crooked straight, beloved, it's hard going. God has to go out before us. And we should feel less oppressed with the burden of fighting the battle if we would just recognize it's not our battle, but the battle is the Lord's. Isn't that right? What did John, the Lord tell Jehoshaphat? The battle is not yours, but the Lord's. All we have to do is stand still and see the salvation of our God. That's what God told Moses. Remember, in that desperate situation when all Israel was, there were hemmed in by the Red Sea, and the Egyptians were in hot pursuit of them. They were terrified. There was no way out. But the Lord said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And so that waiting on God is so critically important. The God will deliver our enemies into our hands, and we have little to do than just fight and spoil. So, beloved, stop fretting strategy. You're not supposed to figure it out anyway. Think about that. Doesn't that take a huge load off of your heart? Some of us think, Lord, whatever am I going to do? How am I ever going to get out of this situation? And we fret and we struggle and we stress and we get so worked up. But, beloved, just stop what you're doing. Stop struggling. Take a deep breath and let God lift those burdens off of your shoulders. You can't carry them. You can't figure it out. And just if you're willing to wait on Him, the problem is we're not patient. We don't want to wait. We want to see results like that. We want to see movement. We want to see action. And it's very hard for just to sit and wait and see, do nothing. But beloved, waiting keeps us humble. And you know what? It gives us the perspective that we need to have. It's not your ability, it's His. And so, especially after a great victory, it's very humbling to wait on God, but it does prevent pride from rising. That's exactly what happened in this case. David, he was wise enough to ask God, what did he need to do? And so that he would think it wasn't his great military might that defeated the enemy, but it was God Himself. And then, thirdly, there's obedience to God. Verse 15 says, and this is the Modern Language Translation, "It shall be when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, at that instant you shall launch the attack, for God will have gone out before you to overwhelm the Philistine army." Praise God. Well, on tomorrow's broadcast, I'm going to share some really exciting things in terms of how the modern language emphasizes that. So often as we read the King James, we just think it's the sound of the wind rustling through the tops of the trees. Well, beloved, it's much more than that. It's the sound of marching. It's the sound of angel troops coming to the defense of Israel. And beloved, there's the sound of angels coming forth to minister to you, the heir of salvation. But what does it require? Obedience to God. At that instant, when God gives us a directive, we need to instantly obey, because then God will launch the attack. He's going forth before us. Praise God. I feel His anointing. Beloved, be encouraged. God is with you. And I encourage you. There's an anointing. I'm feeling a new anointing as I pray for the needs. I've been in a season of prayer and fasting, and I invite you to write. What I don't care how hopeless it looks. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Let faith arise in your heart. Oh, Lord, touch the hearts of your people with faith. Lord, that they will know you've not abandoned them, but you're with them in the fight. I love you, beloved. I must bring this broadcast to a close. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.